the last 3 weeks, and now the fourth week we've been in the book of Jonah, and it's been a blessing. I was telling Pastor Dwayne, you know, you think you know a book, and then you start doing a study through it, and you start seeing things that you've never seen before, and that's been the case even as we've been able to preach from these four chapters of Jonah. So if you didn't get a chance to hear the previous sermons, they are online. You can go online and listen to those. But today, we come to the conclusion. If I had a title for today, my title would be, But Jonah. I don't have a slide for it. But if I had a title for Jonah chapter 4, it would be, But Jonah. We look in chapter 1, and we see Jonah running from God. And then you see chapter 2, and you see Jonah finds himself in the fish's belly, in the whale's belly. And Pastor Dwayne told us that chapter 2 is not so much about that, but about God's grace where Jonah found himself. The love of God that was still present as Jonah found himself in this fish. And then we go to chapter 3, and we see God working and moving, even though, let me see if you guys remember how many words Pastor Dwayne said there was a certain number of words that were used in the message that Jonah brought in chapter 3. Y'all remember how many words that was? 8, almost, 5, almost. My fiance said 5. Call her out. 5's included in the 8. But yes, it was 8. And in the midst of that 8-word message, God still moved and got his point across. And in chapter 4, we come to the conclusion of the story. We see what's going to happen as God moved through the first 3 chapters. Let's pray together as we get ready to get started. Father, we do thank you for being with us on today. And God, we pray as we just sang that you will speak. A word of God, speak to us. God, move me out of the way. God, I pray that people will hear you and see you. God, that this message will change our lives. And God, help us to help others realize what you've called them to do. God, we praise you on this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. So we're going to go ahead and jump into our scripture for today. We're coming from Jonah chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 11. You can either grab the Bible in front of you, or you can look up here. I'm going to read into our hearing. For those of you that are here or online, again, if you need a copy of God's word, if you need a Bible, please get with myself or Pastor Dwayne so that we can get that to you. So you can have a hardback copy, not just digital. Nothing wrong with digital. But it's good to have the word of God in our hands every now and then. This is what the Bible says, Jonah chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. Stop. What seemed very wrong? Let's go back to chapter 3. What happened that was so miraculous in chapter 3 that Jonah thought that it was wrong? Y'all remember? They repented. The city repented. They turned to God. All was well. And you would think that he would rejoice, but the Bible says that to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became a little bit upset. You look in the commentary, and that's what it alludes to, Miss Evelyn. He became furious. He became very angry for what had happened in chapter 3, and he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? And Jonah had gone out, sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in his shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided, y'all see this? When God and God keeps on intervening in, and God provided the worm. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And again, he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. But the Lord, gracious and compassionate he is, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This, again, forget everything that you know about Jonah and just let's live in this moment right now of Jonah being angry and God pleading with him, and Jonah being angry and God pleading with him. And you say, like, we could really look down on Jonah, but the first question, if you're taking notes, that I want to ask you guys is this: have you ever been angry with God? Think about this. It's easy for us to look at Jonah and say, hey, Jonah, you should, there should be a sense of revival in your heart. You should be rejoicing because of what happened. The people repented and they turned to God, but the Bible said that Jonah was angry. And in this first part, go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. It said, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry and he prayed, isn't this what I said, Lord? This is what I tried to forestall. I knew you were gracious. I knew you were slow to anger. You're a God who relents from sin and calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? At this point, Jonah finds himself in a very, very precarious situation because, listen, the enemies of Israel were receiving God's grace. The Assyrians. Y'all remember Pastor Dwayne told us these Assyrians, these Ninevites, these people of this city were so bad that they would take their enemies, and you may have seen movies where they would take big poles and they would shove it through the bottom of the person where it would go through their mouth, and they would sit them up at city entrances so that people could see, this is what happened whenever it happens when you go against Nineveh or against the Assyrians, or they would cut off limbs or they would put people's eyes out. And these were a ruthless bunch of people. And in chapter 3, God goes ahead and gives grace to these horrible people because he's a loving and compassionate God. And Jonah was angry about that. But what he didn't realize was this, that the Ninevites were just like him. that the Assyrians were God's creation and they had the tendency to do bad things and disobey God the same way that Jonah was disobeying God. But in our lives, sometimes we put categories on certain people and we say, well, they're so bad because they do this and I don't do that. Or the Assyrians are so bad because that's the kind of lives that they live. And we fail to see the sin in our own lives or just how bad we are. And when we fall into that trap, we have a tendency to say that they're so bad, they don't deserve God's grace, and that's a dangerous place to be. Because all of us have something in our lives, either right now or something that we've done in the past, to where we can say it right now. If it flashed up on the screen, I'm going to put myself up there. If my past sins and past transgressions and the things I've done in the past would flash up on the screen, I would run out of this church and never run back. But I'm glad you guys don't know about it. Y'all say, oh, Pastor Taylor, you so bad. Well, you put your stuff up here. Let's see. And let's see if you run out of the church the same way. Jonah found himself in this situation where he was angry at God and he was upset because these people had received God's grace. And the horrible part about that is this. Jonah was living his life to please himself. Go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. That there are two prophecies that Jonah is known for in the Bible. And for one prophecy, he's very happy about it whenever God calls him to give it. But the other prophecy, he's like, nah, I don't want to give that one. I'm angry about that one. Look, the first one was this. The first one was recorded in 2 Kings. And in this one, listen, Jonah and his people were prosperous. he gets this prophecy from God. Tell King Jeroboam, who was a wicked king at the time, just a little side note, tell him that all's going to be well at this time. Expand your land. You're going to have victory. You're going to have power. And as this commentary said, he seemed very motivated about this kind of prophecy because it was all about Jonah and his people. And he wasn't thinking about those unsaved heathens on the outside, the people that are going to hell, those people that are living those lives of debauchery and all kind of sin. And Jonah wasn't concerned about them. He was just worried about me, myself, I, and my people. And he was happy about this prophecy. But listen, the second one in Jonah, when God calls and tells him, listen, go to your enemy and preach to them and tell them that this message that I'm sending to you, because Jonah had probably heard that there was going to be a revival in Assyria, and Jonah was having none of it. Again, it's easy for us to say, like, oh, Jonah's such a horrible person, but think about your worst enemy. See how quiet he got? Nobody said, no, I don't have enemies, Pastor Taylor. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God. I don't have anybody that I'm an enemy. Think about the person who upsets you the most, or the person that has misused you the most, or the person that has abused you in the past. And think about the grace that God wants to send to those people. Jonah thought about these Assyrians and he said this, I don't want to see them get saved. I don't care if they are destroyed and they never come to God's grace. And anytime we find ourselves in that situation, that's a bad situation to be in. Because you should hopefully want to see all men be saved and everybody receive God's grace. Hopefully we should not want to be in Jonah's situation, to where we look at the people of New Orleans or people that are on the outside of God's grace, or those that don't even know about Jesus Christ, and we say, yeah, I'm not worried about them. I'm just going to come to church on Sunday and on Wednesdays, and I'm just going to worry about the church folk and the people that are saved already and forget all of those other people. That's not what God called us to do. God called us to minister to them just as much as we minister and encourage one another. So Jonah was happy about one prophecy, angry about the other prophecy. And again, let's not always put all of the blame on Jonah or look down upon Jonah, because if we think back in our own lives, there have been times where we've been angry with God because God hasn't done something that we wanted him to do. Touching buttons now, Pastor Taylor. I want this relationship, or I want this job, or I want to live here, or I prayed to God and he didn't answer the way that I wanted him to answer. So I'm angry with God and I'm going to disassociate with God, and I'm not going to come into fellowship with God's people, and I'm not going to read his word, and I'm not going to pray to him because I'm angry with God. And whenever we find ourselves angry with God, listen, you're going to find yourself in a bad place in life. So ask yourself this question, just like Jonah found himself angry with God, is there something in my life right now to where I'm angry that God has not answered things the way that I want him to answer? And we're going to talk about it a little later on. I'm going to give you a solution to this feeling that you're feeling, that this feeling that you're having about being angry with the Lord. Jonah found himself angry, but he didn't realize this next point. Second point, if you're taking notes, is this. The grace of God is for everybody. The grace of God is for all people. And Jonah didn't fully grasp this. Go to the next slide. It says that Jonah had gone out, sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in his shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. I said the grace of God is for who? Everybody. God showed grace to the Assyrians and the Ninevites in chapter 3. And look, you come to this verse. Jonah built this shade and waited to see what was going to happen. Then God provided another shade above the shade that Jonah had provided. So Jonah, thinking that he's going to take care of himself, and he's like, God, you're not doing what I want you to do. I'm going to make this flimsy shelter. You look into the annals of history, and these shelters were like made of sticks and leaves, and they would put this little shade over you, which really wasn't a shade at all. And he waited to see what would happen to the city. The Bible said, then God provided a leafy plant that grew over the shelter that Jonah thought was going to protect him. Side note, saints of God, if we're trying to do things outside of God's help and outside of God's power, never satisfied. If you're trying to live your life outside of God's provision and God's help and asking God to cover you with the shade, you're trying to build your own shelter or build your own protection or build your own shade, and God's sitting up in heaven talking about, what is this fool doing? These sticks and leaves and all of this stuff trying to cover up this scorching sun. So God said, I'm going to show grace to Jonah. Grace is for everybody. Chapter 3 is for the Ninevites. Chapter 4 right here, God shows grace to him. And the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy. Jonah found himself in that situation where he's very happy about the plant that God had. Ooh, isn't God good, Jenna? Miss Evelyn, ain't God good? Look, he gave me this shelter. He gave me this shade over me. God's going to protect me while I watch this city burn, because I still believe that you're going to destroy this city, even though you say you're not going to do it, God. God, I thank you for the grace that you've shown to me. Listen, definition of grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he withholds what we do deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And he gave Jonah this shelter, gave him this shade, and he was very happy about the plant. And God said, I could imagine God talking to the angel and be like, watch this. In my sanctified imagination, God looking at the angel saying, watch what happened. But at dawn the next day, God provided the plant to be shade. It says the next day God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And this little shelter that Jonah had made for himself out of sticks and leaves and all that, this scorching east wind would blow that away. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wanted to die. And he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. And look at God again. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? First, you're angry about the revival. Now you're angry about the plant. And Jonah, in his self-righteousness, he said, I am so angry, I wish I were dead. Because of the grace that God showed to me was good, but the grace that he showed to other people, I didn't want to have anything to do with that. And I started thinking about this. What about us in our own lives? Are we happy when God blesses us, but upset when he blesses those that we may disagree with? Let me slow down. Are we happy whenever God bestows his blessings upon us, but somebody who may have a different skin color, when he blesses them, we get upset? Or a different political persuasion, do we get upset? Or someone who has identity issues and God, for some reason, shows some kind of favor into their life, do we get upset about that? Do we find ourselves being like Jonah, even though we don't want to admit it? That as long as God's blessing me and mine, that as long as he's providing shade and shelter and provision for me, then I'm all good. But these people that are out there, it's really called prejudice. And so whenever you really come down to like racism and prejudice ideologies and the way that people think, they don't want to see people who are different from themselves receive anything good. Nonetheless, God's grace and God's mercy. And if we find ourselves in that place today, we need to repent. That I'm not happy whenever God's grace is shown to someone else, whenever God bestows his blessings upon someone else, whenever God not only blesses me, but bless those around me, I should be happy about that and not sulking like Jonah did. So the first question we ask ourselves is, have we been angry with God like Jonah has been? And the second thing we have to understand is that God's grace is for everybody. The last point, and hopefully you've got this throughout all four chapters of Jonah, is this. This really is all about God. You go to chapter 1, and people say chapter 1 is about Jonah running away. No. Chapter 1 is about God's patience with this person that's running away. That's the thing we need to focus upon. You go to chapter 2 and people look at it and they be like, oh, Jonah's in the fish, so this is all about the fish. And did he survive in the fish? But Pastor Dwayne told us, no. Jonah 2 is about God's love and presence in the midst of that fish, even with a rebellious prophet. That it's all about God. You go to chapter 3 and people focus on this 8-word message that was used. You know, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But it's not about that message. And listen, it's not even about Jonah's reluctance to go through the city because he really was expecting it to be destroyed. Chapter 3 really is about God's forgiveness and his willingness to restore people who are on the outside of his grace at the time. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, those that were doing all these atrocities and all of these bad things, God was able to bring them back to himself. You look throughout history and eventually this group of people that repented at this time would be the people that would eventually conquer Israel, but also would be the people that would eventually fall from grace and they'd be destroyed themselves. But at this time, God wanted to save them, and his purpose was to see Nineveh restored and for revival to occur. And that's what happened in chapter 3. And then you come to chapter 4, and it's all about God's grace. Chapter 4 is not so much about Jonah waiting to see the city destroyed or Jonah fussing back and forth. It's God showing grace to Jonah in the midst of his rebellion and showing grace to this city of Nineveh as well. And all of us need to understand that if God is gracious enough to show it to a rebellious prophet, he'll show it to us as well. That the grace of God is for us in our lives as well. But if we find ourselves in Jonah's situation, living for ourselves and trying to fulfill our own needs and wanting our own happiness and wanting our own fulfillment, that's where the problem comes in. That if God said, go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. The next one after that. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. This is God directly talking to Jonah. You've been concerned about this plant. Although you didn't tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight. And then God switched it to himself, and he said this, should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, where there are 120,000 people and also many animals? God switches around and tells Jonah, this is not about you. That you're focused upon your happiness and your fulfillment and you want to see things happy. You want to see things happen that you approve of. And God is saying this, should I not have concern for all of these people that are dying and on their way to hell? This is about me, not about you. And until we understand that our lives should be about God's holiness much more than it's about our happiness. Oh. I'm about to make people mad now. Pastor Taylor, are you telling me that I shouldn't be happy in life? I'm not saying that. Are you telling me that I shouldn't be fulfilled in life? I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you this. You should seek God's holiness first before your happiness, because if you seek God's holiness first, then joy is going to come and you're going to be satisfied in whatever situation you find yourself in. And Jonah right here found himself where he was sulking and he was angry and he wanted to see something happen that he had in his mind. And when it didn't happen, he found himself angry. And so in our own lives, we have to ask ourselves, what's my perception of this life that God has given to me? Am I focused on getting what I want? Remember the two prophecies? Jonah was happy about his people increasing land and having victory and getting acclaim. And all of that was good because he was included in that. But whenever God told him about what he was trying to do in Nineveh, he wasn't happy about that. Again, Jonah was focused on himself. And the only way we truly find joy in this life, a lot of people don't want to hear this. The only way we truly find joy in this life is when we line our lives up with what God wants to do, his purpose and his plan. That until we find out, God, why am I here? What's the purpose of me being here? What's the plan that you have for my life? And when I connect with that, that's when I'm going to find joy. That's when I'm going to find fulfillment. That's when I'm going to find satisfaction. Go to that last slide, Pastor Dwayne. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God with these lives that we live, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Because when you glorify God, listen, people don't believe this. When you glorify God, then your relationships work the way they're supposed to work. When you glorify God, as difficult as a work situation may be, God will give you strength and peace in that work situation to where he's glorified and where you can enjoy it, even in a difficult situation. Whenever we glorify him first and seek him first, understand this. If we look for fulfillment in other things, we're not going to find joy. We're not going to enjoy life. We're not going to be satisfied, because if you're satisfaction or your fulfillment in life is found in a job that you have, you can be fired. If your satisfaction and joy in life is in a relationship above the Lord, that person can leave you. It may not be of their own will. It may be through health issues. It may be something, an accident or something. But if we're putting people, listen, marriage is fine and relationships are fine and all that stuff. But if you're putting your spouse above the Lord, you're out of order. Pastor Taylor, you're a pastor. Doesn't God put man and woman together? And isn't that the most primary relationship you're supposed to have on this earth? Yes, but the primary relationship we need to have is with the Lord. And as we find ourselves connected to the Lord, to his purpose and his plan, again, if my job goes away, if my boss walks in tomorrow and says, you're fired, I'm going to be okay, because my trust and my provision come from the God of heaven. And if that person that I've been with for a year or 4 years or 10 years decides up and leave one day, I might be hurt in the time being, but I'm going to be okay, because God is the sustainer of my life. But people say things like, well, I got to stay, you know, Pastor Taylor, I can't leave this woman because I've been with her for 5 years and everything's good and we have our bills together and we're living together and I don't know what I'll do outside of being with her. And I'll be like, trust the Lord. That until we find ourselves trusting God for our work, for our relationships, for this church, listen, for your finances, if you're putting all of your hope in the bank account that you have, that bank account can be gone tomorrow. That a bill can come up or an unexpected expense come up, and the money that you were putting your trust in is all of a sudden gone. And if you're trusting in that, when that goes away, then you have nothing at all. But if your trust and your belief and your faith is in God, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of time. When we're satisfied with God, then everything's going to work out. And the problem with Jonah was this. He wasn't satisfied with God's plan. God say, I want to save these people that are on their way to hell, really, that are doing all of these horrible things. I want to save these Ninevites, and I have a purpose and a plan, even if you don't understand it. So God was telling Jonah this, just do what I tell you to do. Chapter 1, and the word of God came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and preach to that great city. Tell them the message that I told you. And from chapter 1, that Jonah should have been one chapter. God said, Jonah, go tell them what I told you. Jonah should have went to Nineveh, said the message, and went on about his business. But 4 chapters later, we see the book of Jonah end. And we don't know how it ends, because it just says, God says, shouldn't I have compassion? Shouldn't I have grace on this city? More than 120,000 people and all of these animals and everything that's going on. Shouldn't I have compassion for them? And it ends right there. But it doesn't have to end that way for us. That we don't have to find ourselves being a Jonah. Don't be a, what's the, that, no, be like Daniel. I mean, am I making that up? Dare to be a Daniel. Thank you, Miss Francis. I know she had preached something to me about that recently. Dare to be a Daniel. You know, they have a song, they have curriculum on there. I'll say this, don't be a Jonah. In our lives, we're called to be like Jesus. And Jesus was concerned about those who were on the outside of God's grace, those that found themselves not understanding the plan of God for their lives, not understanding what their purpose was in this life. But ultimately, our purpose is this, to glorify God and enjoy. If I'm doing something in my life that doesn't glorify God, I need to change that. If I'm treating jelly in a way that doesn't glorify God, I need to change that. In this church, if I'm not pastoring the way that glorifies God, I need to change that. All of us in this room, we could put whatever situation you're about to go into, and you say, does this place where I'm going glorify God? Does this relationship that I'm in glorify God? Do the things that I'm engaged in, does it glorify God? And if it glorifies God, I'll be able to enjoy him forever. And we'll be able to magnify the great God of heaven and find ourselves in a situation to where we are pulling people into the kingdom and not pushing them away. Y'all remember in the first chapter that the sailors were seemingly more holy than Jonah? Can you imagine these sailors that are on the boat that are praying to these other gods and doing all this worldly stuff, and they're looking and talking about, Pastor Taylor down there sleeping in the boat. Oh, Pastor Dwayne down there sleeping. And then they find out, oh, you're running from the Lord. What kind of testimony is that? As we find ourselves in different places and we find ourselves on our jobs, and this week as other people are looking at the lives that we're living, let them see lives that glorify God. And that in glorifying God, they see us enjoying him forever, seeing us bringing glory to his name, and hopefully they'll understand their need for the Savior as well. So Jonah is a, concluding, I'm done. Jonah is a, I guess you could say a kind of a tragedy, because you wonder what happened to the man of God, but it's also a lesson for all of us that we don't have to harbor this bitterness when God's grace is shown to other people. We don't have to be angry when God doesn't work a certain way that we want him to work. We need to fall in line with this purpose and with this plan. And when we do that, I'm a witness, we'll be satisfied. God will give us his joy. God will give us his strength. God will give us what we need to enjoy this life and be a testimony to other people as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for today. And God, you were patient with Jonah. God, you're patient with us. Whenever we fall short, God, whenever we don't do something you tell us to do, God, when the attacks of the enemy come our way and we doubt what your word says, keep us focused on the fact that you've been faithful before. God, you're going to continue to be faithful now. And you'll be faithful in the future. God, we thank you for what we've learned in Jonah. And as we conclude this book on today, God, we pray for the opportunity to show grace to others. But God, celebrate also whenever you show grace to them. And God, prayerfully save them by your power. God, we praise you on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.